Greetings, Parish Orphans and Retrogrades. Horrible news from the Synod, which you already expected. Yesterday, Diane Montaigne, excellent reporter who used to be with LifeSite News, asked Cardinal Gresh, who's in charge of the Synod, more or less what she asked was, how inclusive is this thing going to be? Is this beast going to be? And his answer was shocking in the sense that he gave a true answer. They have excluded nothing, they being the Synod runners, representing the church, even though the church supposedly has already excluded things like same-sex attracted actions and women priests, girl priests, things like that. On today's show, we're going to get into the details. What did Diane Montaigne ask Gresh? What did exactly Gresh say? I'll play it. And I'm going to tell you, this is the plan of the Jesuits. Jesuits now run the church. Jesuits run this synod. Going to hear from an article by our good friend, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Edward Penton, by reading his article. I'd asked both Diane and I don't think I asked Ed to be on the show. They've both been on the show in the past. Diane's very, very busy and I think continuing reportage. So, lots to do today. Don't forget, before we get into that, now the Baltimore Catechism courses are done, the live versions anyway, and for free, if you go to timothyjgordon.com, you can upload 9 classes comprising the Baltimore Catechism Retrograde Academy class. We go through all 37 lessons of the Baltimore Catechism. It's really, really good. 9 short lessons, and you get through the whole catechism on retrogradeacademy.com. Go to timothyjgordon.com. It's absolutely free. If you want to give an unrelated donation, as you do so, we have a suggested amount of $100. But it's not related to that. You can get this stuff absolutely free if you need it, particularly homeschoolers. Donations are one thing, but we want the people that need it to get it free. Secondly, tomorrow I will be in northern Mississippi, as opposed to where I live, southern Mississippi, at Ole Miss Law School, debating well-known Josh Hammer. He's a post-liberal. These guys usually don't debate me, but somehow he got goaded into it. And we're going to be debating American originalism, specifically his post-liberal version of originalism, which is called Common Good Originalism. It's going to be live-streamed by the university. I'll tweet it out later tonight. And after that, if you can't watch live or if you're not on Twitter, I'll upload it onto my channel if I can. Go to realestateforlife.org to get out of your blue state, get to a red state. I suggest the Southeast Atlantic states, like where I moved. You got to get out of your blue states today. Realestateforlife.org will make it happen. You still have a little bit of time before the midterm elections, like a couple days. They haven't done anything yet. They haven't locked you in your blue states yet. So get out, even if it's after the midterm elections. Make plans today. Realestateforlife.org will be a Catholic, probably definitely a pro-life, probably a Catholic person helping you to make the decision. If you want to support this channel, we are rushing toward 40,000 subscribers. People are shocked that we only have a little under 40,000 subscribers. Please like this video and subscribe. Help us with the algorithm. The algorithm controls all. As soon as Elon took over Twitter, I'm shooting up in Twitter account. I was never one to blame everything on the algorithm before, but it turns out it's really real. I'm getting 100 new followers on Twitter every week. I was going down 100 a week for a while before Elon took over. That proves the algorithms dictate all on these social media. For YouTube, you gotta like the video. I don't always do it either, but you gotta like the video to support me, to support Rules for Retrogrades, and you have to subscribe and click the notification bell. Also, leave a comment. Holy cow. So, I've reported pretty steadily on the Synod, on Synodality, which is ongoing now. It was supposed to be moving into its next phase here in October. Now we're in November. Happy All Souls Day, by the way. Third day of the Fall Triduum. And boy, it's just nothing but bad news. It's nothing but bad news. Listen to what Diane Montaigne asked. I'm Italian, so I say Montaigne. I'm not sure how she calls it. She asked this to Cardinal Gresh. It's quite satisfying.
During your first Scotty meeting, from the social media platforms of the Synod Secretariat, I'm thinking specifically of the Twitter account of Synod at synod.va. There were several images put out by the Synod Secretariat, praised as works of art. These weren't simply objective statements, but positive praise for these works of art. Cartoon-like in their character, perhaps you remember them, most of which represented ideas that would be contrary to the Catholic faith. One in particular made the rounds, a group of people in front of a church, one with a woman dressed in a chasuble as a priest, which of course is against the faith. Another, I'm not sure if it was a male or a female, and I mean that sincerely, standing in the center with an LGBT pride shirt. And these were praised as works of art by the Synod Secretariat itself on social media. The Synod Secretariat, I think, as a consequence, lost a lot of credibility and trust in the eyes of many Catholics. That's not my judgment. I think normally the Synod account does not get many replies. In this case, there were hundreds of responses to these images, mostly negative, probably, to be generous, 95% negative. Is the Synod Secretariat listening to these responses of the Catholic faithful? And how would you respond to them?
It's a listening synod, after all, as Diane's pointing out. Oh, all the digs she got in. Diane Montagne, God bless you. We love you here. That is good stuff. Actual journalism, as my friend Patrick Coffin said. Thank you, Diane. Here is Cardinal Gresh's horrifying response.
Listening to everybody.
We're listening to everybody.
We are listening to everybody. And if you go through the document, and now we are not only talking about images, but contents. Listening to everybody without excluding anybody, it is our responsibility to take note of all voices at this particular moment of the people of God. We cannot, otherwise, you could also criticize us, no, that we are not a listening church. We are a listening church. At this moment, we are not taking any decision. Our duty at this moment is to be a channel, to make the voices of the people of God that arrived through the episcopal conferences. No?
Anne, please, let's listen to the response. And then we have questions.
So, thanks, Mom.
I repeat, we exclude nothing. We take note of everything, and we submit that then to the pastors who have the responsibility to guide the people of God.
So we exclude nothing. We will, like the hideous bitch goddess of democracy, bad even in secular regimes, democracies arguably the most tyrannical, we will exclude nothing. We will allow the popular voice of the people, now I'm paraphrasing, to be heard by the pastors, and it's their job to, now I'm paraphrasing, make up new stuff. Francis and the bosses of the synod will bless whatever is popular, presumptively. That's essentially what Cardinal Gresh is saying, and guess what, Parish Orphans and Retrogrades? It's all a bunch of hooey. It's a bunch of hooey. It's a load of waffles. Yeah, you know why? Because the church is already adjudicated on same-sex attracted actions. The church has already taken a position on the gay. You can't take the gay position, literally or figuratively. You're not allowed to. There's nothing to discuss. Should we discuss how many persons are in the Trinity? Let's have a three and a half year ongoing synod process on how many persons are in the Trinity. It's as valid a synodal question for interrogation as, can women be priests? No, John Paul II put this beyond all reach, ultra vires, in the 90s. It's been adjudicated in the 90s. But these guys don't give up, do they? Did you know John Paul II all but put the question of communion for the divorced and civilly remarried beyond all reach, almost beyond all reach, in the 80s? You know who was trying? I think a lot of you parish orphans and retrogrades that listen to this channel with regularity do know. It was the same guy who was trying to reach for that golden ring, Sankt Gallen Mafia alum, none other than Cardinal Walter Kasper himself, that in 1983 made a real go of it to try to get the Sankt Gallen Mafia agenda item number one through on JP2. And even though JP2, I'm not a fan, reified Catholic feminism, he reified ecumenism out the wazoo, worse arguably than Pope Paul VI, and he reified Francis's postmodern secular humanist attack on the death penalty, blessed death penalty, which is great for murderers. JP2 did take a hard stance with regard to Cardinal Kasper, and eventually they bode their time, they waited it out, they waited for JP2 to die, they waited for Benedict to die. See what I did there? They waited for whatever happened with Benedict, I don't even know, to happen. And they got their man in. It's a turkey shoot. And it took them about 5 years. Sorry, it only took them 3 years. It didn't take 5 years. It took them all of 3 years. And then Cardinal Walter Kasper got his communion for the divorced and civilly remarried plan through. That's precisely what the Synod on Synodality is all about. Getting through the other agenda items that have been definitively shut down, even more definitively than JP2 shut down communion for divorce and remarried. Remember, you don't have to shut any of this stuff down because straight out of Scripture, you can't give communion to the divorced and civilly remarried. St. Paul says so. You cannot have women priests. It's been repeated throughout 2,000 years of tradition and magisterial teaching because Christ had an all-male priesthood. This would be liturgical lesbianism, so you can't do it. JP2 shored this up strongly, explicitly, in the middle 90s. But they're going to do it anyway. They're going to do it anyway. And the question is, how will we respond? I don't know. I've been one saying, look, this ain't a republic where we can respond by voting with our feet, moving states, doing something drastic by voting all the legislature out. We can't do any of that. So I don't know. I'm just saying get ready for it. Yeah, we can pray. Fast, yeah, we can fast. I normally fast on Wednesdays, Black Fast, but I accidentally thought today was Tuesday and had a sandwich this morning. So that's bad. Normally I fast Wednesdays and Fridays, and I advocate doing something like this. The point is, they're pushing the same-sex attracted agenda really, really hard because a lot of these guys have it in their interest for the church, an anti-church, to be saying that same-sex attracted actions are good, that there are positive aspects in these vile, vile, disgusting relationships. Whew. What is going on in the world today? So, Ed Penton, good friend of the show, has also weighed in on something really, really funny here. This is called, in Italian magazine, L'Espresso, he's tweeted, he didn't actually write it, sorry, this is Sandro Magister, Vaticanista, Sandro Magister. I got this from Penton. Incredible but true. Let me read this from L'Espresso for you. I have to Eccetera. I'm reading it in English. Francis's team in command of the church. All Jesuits. Jesbians. They're all Jesbians, these guys. Incredible but true. Just now when in a few decades it has lost a good half of its forces, the Society of Jesus, sorry, I don't want to say that to his name, but Society of Jesus has surged to the heights of command of the Catholic Church as never before. Francis's story is well known. He's the first Jesuit pope in history. He who, notwithstanding, had more adversaries than friends in the society and took care not to set foot in its general curia whenever he came to Rome as a cardinal. He's not a popular man with the folks that know him best. But the innovation is that in this last phase of the Francis pontificate, declining in age but not in ambitions, Francis has equipped himself with a veteran attack team, all his own and made up entirely of Jesuits, Jesbos. The top man of his team is without a doubt Cardinal Jean-Claude Hollerich, Archbishop of Luxembourg, top man in Jorge Mario Bergoglio's plans both for today and for tomorrow. For today, the task assigned to him by Francis is to steer, as Relator General, the World Synod that got underway last year in 2021 and will last until at least 2024. Remember, they're stalling for time because of the ambition, the ideological ambition of changing everything in the church. So it'll extend at least to 2024. But in the Pope's mind, even beyond, with the task of remodeling the church under the banner of none other than a permanent synodality. This means permanent change. This means anything fixed will be changed. So I made the joke about maybe we can debate four persons in the Trinity. Guess what? In the clown world, there are no jokes anymore. All humor is lost in clown world. Why? Because that's supposed to be like an extreme, untouchable, plainly contrafactual example of something that even Francis the Audacious would never try to hoodwink us with. Four persons in the Trinity. But he might. Under the auspices of synodality, he might. There's nothing this sleaze wouldn't try. This is what's going on right under your noses. And I tell you, folks, I have to take time out. There are still Pope-splainers out there. They're still hustling. I guess it's for a dime, a quarter, a dollar. I don't know what it's for, but there are still Pope-splainers out there. And I've invited them on this show, and I've had good relations with some of them. There are intellects among the Pope-splainers that I actually respect. Not all of them, but Trent Horn, it's a respectable intellect. Take this man serious. Any man I would debate, I've been thinking of debate again because I haven't done a lot of live debates. The second part of my career, I did a lot of live debates before. The last live debate I did, I think, was Trent Horn. I respect Trent. I wouldn't debate someone unless I thought they were good. It's embarrassing for everyone if you debate someone that's soft or dull. He's sharp. But I can't believe he's still Pope-splaining. Michael Lofton? Sharp. You got trads out there saying negative things about him on Twitter, but guess what? He's sharp. He's studying his stuff. Now, the Pope-splaining is simply not respectable. The synod is the express intent of the boss. What problems have you Pope-splainers got with the simple platitude for life? When you're in management, when you're in charge, everything's your fault. Why? It's a basic rule in business. I'm not some business guy, but I know that much. Why? Because when you're in charge, you've signed off on everything. You've underwritten everything. Now, Hollerich claims, particularly the LGBTQ stuff. Remember, I brought you a story 3 months ago. Hollerich claimed specifically that Francis loves the LGBTQ plans, designs of this synod. And he was not rebutted. That was in World News. This is the express intent of Pope Francis. Where are you on that one, Pope Splainers? Now, last week, when there was yet more catastrophic synod news, I invited it where they said, look, this is what we're going to do. Women priests. We're going to do LGBTQ stuff. We're going to do very pro-body. We're going to remake the church. You won't recognize your church. I invited Michael Lofton on and Trent Horn, and Michael said, yeah, I'll probably come on. So hopefully that happens soon. I really and sincerely hope. It's not a good sign when people go dark. and stop responding. We need to have Michael Lofton on. Also, he needs to respond to, I don't endorse what Peter Diamond says about sedevacantism. I don't. But I do endorse what he said about Francis claimed specifically twice that to convince others of your Christian faith is a sin. To convince others of your Christian faith is a vice. He said it both ways. It's not licit. He might have said it three times. And I don't care what you call this. I don't care what you call the action, evangelization, something else, preaching the gospel, evangelizing, whatever. There's the negative word for it too. I don't care. He denied specifically you could do this. And so Lofton needs to come on and be honest about that. I'm giving him a chance because, hey, when I'm wrong, I talk publicly. Not just in public, like I'm going to be at Ole Miss tomorrow. It's law school. I talk publicly from my upstairs den. That's what I'm doing right now. I've been wrong before. You have to come out and own it and say, look, I was wrong. Mea culpa. It doesn't mean you're wrong about everything, but you have to admit it. People need to see. If you're a person of good will and good intellect, you say, hey, I want to own it when I'm wrong so people don't think maybe I'm wrong the rest of the time. You got to do that. It doesn't mean you're wrong all the time. It doesn't even mean you're wrong often, but you got to own it when you are. I'm hoping Michael Lofton will do that. This article by Sandro Magister, quoted by Edward Penton, continues. For today, the task assigned to Hollerich by Francis is to steer, as Relator General, the World Synod, which got underway in 2021, will last at least to 2024. While for tomorrow, it is no mystery that Hollerich is also Francis's candidate in pectore for his succession, on which the current synod will have decisive influence. I'd like to hear more about why the current synod will have decisive influence on the next conclave. If it's a common sense reason, that's great, but say why. This is Sandro Magister, though. He knows. It will effectively oblige the future pope, whoever he may be, to take delivery on and continue the process. We're not talking about the Philadelphia 76ers here. We're talking about synodality. This is as happened to Paul VI with the Vatican Council II, inherited from John the 23rd. Now, there's a number of more or less drastic ways that the future pope, the successor of Francis, would not be definitively charged with continuing the process. Trust the process. No, he could do away with it. He could say, this is shit. No, we're not doing this. Sorry. Or something could happen at the next conclave. Who knows? Not me. So it could happen with the next conclave where Francis could be like, this guy wasn't even pope. Maybe it was Benedict the whole time. Maybe it wasn't. Who knows? It's clown world. Here's what makes me laugh. You folks out there that are maybe you're kind of trad leaning. Maybe you say you like the Latin Mass. You're trad, but you're normie. And you say, oh, I know exactly what's going on. We've never had anti-popes. We've never had a Avignon papacy. You just don't know your history. If you know your history, then you know this could be another Avignon papacy with some differences that aren't perfectly apposite in the fact patterns of today and Avignon papacy. But it could be a kind of a different Avignon papacy. It could be, what, number 30 or number 31 antipope? This stuff happens. Normies never believe, they believe history, but they never believe their time is anything but normie. The general reversal of this world synod is the one underway in Germany. Sorry, rehearsal. The general rehearsal of this synod is what's been going on with the bishops' conference in Germany. That's what he means. It's already infecting other national churches without Francis's opposing any effective restraint, with the inevitable litany of fashionable reforms, ranging from married priests to women priests, from new sexual and homosexual morality to the democratization of church governance. Remember, democracies are wicked, even in secular government. You want representative rule? What is Thomas Aquinas and Bellarmine and Suarez and Aristotle and Plato say, if you want representative government, you need a Republican form of government, not democratic. It's extra evil when you're talking about democratic government in church governance. It's impossible, the article says, not to recall that some of these were the reforms that another great Jesuit, great not good, Cardinal Carlo Maria Martini, the dawn of the St. Gallen Mafia, had included in the agenda of future church in a memorable 1999 speech. Martini is known to have had a negative view of Bergoglio, but the supporters of the current pontificate are having a field day making the profit of the reforms for which Francis is supposedly paving the way at last, and of which Hollerich has already repeatedly said he is in favor. Now, don't make too much of Martini being disfavoring Bergoglio early on. When the St. Gallen Mafia first started meeting, Martini assumed he, the Don, the leader, would be the presumptive candidate. I think Time magazine might have even featured Martini as the next pope. Papa Prossima? Prossimo? Forgetting my Italian. Tempo. So I don't think he thought as the next Don, once Martini, who succumbed to the same disease, Parkinson's, that his enemy, John Paul II, did in roughly the same time period, he would sort of pass the reins to a new Don of the St. Gallen Mafia who would believe in Bergoglio and who would, as he convened the meetings at least once a year in St. Gallen, he would start to push Bergoglio, and the other members believed in Bergoglio. Okay? Silvestrini, Cardinal Achille Silvestrini is that man. So Hollerich is in favor of basically everything the St. Gallen Mafia wanted. La Servitore Romano, published last October the 24th, is a comprehensive agenda-setting interview with this cultured Jesuit cardinal with 27 years of mission in Japan behind him. And in it, once again, he expressed the hope for a paradigm change in the pastoral care and doctrine of the church on homosexuality, because homosexuals, too, are the fruit of creation and therefore are not rotten apples but something good. Of course, there is no room, the cardinal added, for a sacramental marriage between persons of the same sex, because the procreative purpose that characterizes a marriage is lacking, but this does not mean that their effective union has no value. So they're pushing for something Francis has already endorsed twice, early career, late career. The more or less the church's blessing of same-sex unions. The CDF has ruled the church can't bless same-sex unions. It was one of the last loggerheads between Mueller, when he was CDF, and Francis. And to the editor of Le Servitore Romano, who brought up the fact that the Bishop of Belgium may have spoken out in favor of the blessing of homosexual unions, Hollerich replied, "Frankly, the question does not seem decisive to me. If we keep to the etymology of benedire," like they care about etymologies, it means to well speak, "do you think God could ever dire male of two persons who care about each other?" Yes, he could dire male. He could speak ill. These words, if they treat non-sex organs as sex organs, and that's what they call caring about each other, yes, if two persons, both of whom may be male or female, care about each other, they should say, if we're disorderly attracted to one another, we need to stay as far away from one another as possible because we have disordered attraction. The Lord would speak affirmatively of these people, right? Same-sex attracted people who want to be chaste, who want to be Christ-like, who want to be Josephite. Good. But no, people that act in a perverted way, that they're going to have to, for the rest of their lives, consult proctologists multiple times per year, harming one another's bodies in a disordered, vile arrangement. No, Yes, the Lord would speak ill of that. These words of Hollerich's spontaneously bring up the question, but wasn't it another high-ranking Jesuit at the Vatican, Cardinal Luis Ladaria, in his capacity as prefect of the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, who prohibited the blessing of homosexual unions in a response to him made public on March 15, 2021? And was it not Francis himself who had given his consent to the publication of the responsum, having been informed of it, as written at the bottom of the document? Just so. Except, however, take note, the following Sunday at the Angelus, the Pope had made it clear that he had no liking at all for theoretical condemnations or claims of legalism or clerical moralism, where what we needed instead are gestures of love. So Francis will strike with one hand, comfort with the next. This is how he's gotten everything Masonic in the pontificate in the Vatican done so far. He'll say, yes, I give my blessing to this act or word of orthodoxy, and then he'll undo it. Authoritative Vatican sources had anonymously made it known that with this, he was criticizing none other than the responsum that prohibited the blessing of homosexual unions, which he had approved in words, but he'd also, at the beginning of his pontificate, approved specifically in words, saying he thought it should be legally, it should be something that I think in Argentina they granted unions between homosexuals. In short, humiliated by his confrere, the Pope, the hapless Cardinal Ladaria, is the exception that confirms the rule. He is the old school Jesuit whom Bergoglio keeps on the bench while waiting to send him into retirement off his team, requiring him in the meantime to answer no to those cardinals. And that is Pope Splainer's how the pieces on the chessboard are arranged. It is required of guys like Ladaria, the present CDF, or Mueller before him, to say no to those cardinals who have asked him to call Hollerich back to respect for correct doctrine. This translation's a little rough. So Francis, because he works in incrementalism, he needs to say no. No, we're going to stop there. Remember that little scam he ran with Cardinal Casper in between the 2014 and 2015 synod? I recall it often. I feel like a broken record. In between October and October of those 2 years, Casper said, look, I was in favor last October in 2014. This October, I'm out of favor. Francis does not like my plan. Well, he took up his plan. He magisterialized it. He put it into the document, Amoris Laetitia, and then he put that document in a letter into the AAS. So it was a little game of farce, kabuki theater. But in addition to Hollerich, there are two other Jesuits whom Francis has recently made cardinals and has put on the team in important roles. The first is the Canadian Michael Cerny, for many years a competitor, more competitor than a co-worker, of the Ghanaian Cardinal Peter Turkson. First at the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace, and then at the Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development, of which he's now become prefect. Cerny was also a special secretary to the Synod for the Amazon. I remember that. From the defense of nature to migrants to the popular movements, he is the man Bergoglio avails himself of in these fields he favors. The second is the Italian Gianfranco Ghirlanda, former rector of the Pontifical Gregorian University. I think he was rector when I was there. And a seasoned expert in canon law. Among his tasks is that of translating into juridical provisions the imperious acts that Francis carries out with the air of an absolute monarch. From Ghirlanda, for example, came the perfunctory conclusion of the long-standing theological dispute between powers of orders, those derived from episcopal ordination, and powers of jurisdiction, those conferred by higher authority. Opting for the latter, in order to place some lay people as well, men or women, at the head of the Vatican Curia with the simple mandate of the Pope. Again, from Ghirlanda, in his role of juridical factotum at the service of Francis, came the dismantling and refounding imposed by the Pope on the Order of Malta. Remember that? What a disaster. But that's not all. Also among Jesuits, who are not cardinals, there's some whom the Pope has placed in key roles at his service. In the General Secretariat of the Synod of Bishops, there is a consultant who is in fact the associate closest to Hollerich. It is Father Giacomo Costa, former editor of Aggiornamenti Sociali of the Milan Jesuits and vice president of the Fondazione Carla Maria Martini, the Martini Foundation. Not to mention Father Antonio Spadaro, that very 2017 to mention Spadaro. He subtweeted me once in 2017 when I wrote an article for Church Militant. He's editor of La Civiltà Cattolica and a very close man to Francis since his election as Pope. He, too, very active and urgent in promoting the World Synod on Synodality and, in particular, in involving the adventure with important help from his predecessor at La Civiltà Cattolica, Bartolomeo Sorge, the Italian Episcopal Conference, and he found it very distrustful. And then there's the chapter of the Vatican finances where Francis is appointed the Spanish Jesuit Juan Antonio Guerrero Alves as prefect of the Secretariat for the Economy, the office that oversees the entire sector. More, I don't usually read entire articles, but this article is just listing all the evil Jesuits that Francis is having carry out his evil plan. Because there are Pope Splainers out there that don't understand that published plans, even before they're perfected, published plans of Francis destroy Pope Splaining, destroy alibi making, destroy reasonable, rational rationales that might otherwise make us say, oh, that's why he did it. We're seeing why Francis is doing what he's doing, and it's all bad. Moreover, for a couple of years, there's also been a Jesuit at St. Peter's Basilica alongside the Cardinal Archpriest Mauro Gambetti, the Pope's Vicar General for Vatican City. It is Francesco Occhetta, Secretary General of the Fratelli Tutti Foundation, and until 2020, Pontifical Columnist for La Civiltà Cattolica. And there's also a Jesuit among the auxiliary bishops of the Diocese of Rome, of which the Pope is bishop, Daniel Libanori, who is entrusted with the pastoral care of the city center. With the Pope, the names listed make 9, and with Sorge and the Prophet Martini, 11, naturally without counting Cardinal Lideria. Such a team, entirely of Jesuits, had never, ever been seen in command of the church. This is without mentioning any of the worst American Jesuits. You know lots of them. Father James Martin, S.J., you naughty thing. It's all bad. So, more stuff to look out for. Thank you, Diane Montana. Hannah Montana. Thank you, Diane. Good work. Please keep it up. Please keep asking probative questions. I'd warn a male interlocutor. Don't get too probative. These guys might like it. God bless you all. Deus vult. Stay strong. Hold fast. Love your family. Keep God's word. Be faithful. Peace.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit.